Blog Talk Radio.
Coming out of the book of Mark, chapter 10, is, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." We talked about that on yesterday. We got to understand that we can't always want to be first. Sometimes you need to be last, because your last may wind up making you the first. So thank God for being the last. It's all right, because God has put you in the position that you're in for a reason. Why? Because he loves you like that. And the word that God gave me for this morning from our book of prayer, Mother Valerie, is for this March the 7th. Shout out to Vasquez. Today is his birthday, and he's a very special person. He is my adopted daughter's father and an awesome man of God. And he has a great name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a make you laugh event. Some years ago, the family was in D.C. for my oldest granddaughter's graduation. And we were at a restaurant, and they put your names on cups. And this young man who didn't understand that Jesus is a Spanish name and a Latino name, and he was running around talking about, "We have an order for Jesus, an order for Jesus," and his coworker said, pushed him on his side, said, it's Jesus. He said, "Well, it says Jesus right here for Jesus." So we are ordering for Jesus this morning. We are thanking God for his son Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior and the strength of our life. And it says this, "I can," can you say it with me, family? "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." And we know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that is Philippians 4:13. And I am coming out of the NIV. And it says, "God of my strength, you know how much I need you. One day, on days when it is hard to even get out of bed to face the day, fill me with strength that comes straight from you. Help me to brave the day, knowing that I have everything I need to face every obstacle that may pop up. There are no surprises to you. You aren't startled by what happens. I can rely on you to get me through every trial and circumstance. You won't let me fall." Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. "I can face the day knowing that I am yours and you are with me. When I struggle in my weakness, you are the power that fuels my soul. Infuse me with your grace that I may courageously walk hand in hand with you. relying on your steady frame. When my own starts to give out, I can do all things through you, Lord, my God. And our question for the day, what do you turn to when you are tired and worn out? Do you turn to the Lord, or do you try to do it yourself? Trust in the Lord today. And remember, but that you are first, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. We trust in God that all things will work together for good, because we know we are called according to his purpose. Not my way, Lord, but your way. Hallelujah. Giving God praise this morning. Giving God honor this morning. Giving God glory this morning. Because there is no other God like our God. Thanking him for another day. And as we go into our prayer, Father God in heaven, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the grace and mercy you have shown us through his blood, God. We ask you, Father God, as we go forth today, guide us and lead us, God. Forgive us, God, for all sins, seen and unseen. Thoughts that are not the right thoughts. Ways that are not the right ways. Father God, we ask forgiveness and we ask healing of the mind, body, and spirit of your children, God. We know that you can do all things. And we are trusting in you, God, to clean us up, to help us be the best that we can be. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this mighty word, God, asking you as always, Lord, increase as we decrease. Father, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Father God, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And it's in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We lift up this word this morning that it touches someone's heart, mind, and spirit. And we say amen. For we know, God, you are in charge and all things are working for our good. And that this word will touch someone's heart. Again, in the name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mother Valerie, good morning, good morning, good morning again.
Good morning, Pastor.
Today we will be in the book of Numbers, chapter 11 and 12 through verse 16. And our psalm this morning is the 31st psalm, verses 11 through 18. And our proverb today is the 11th chapter, verses 12 through 14. And our New Testament word is coming out of Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 31. And I am excited because our title is coming out of Mark chapter 10. And again, it will be the last thing that we say in Mark chapter 10, verse 31. And it's a great word. You know, Jesus had to let us know, you know, what everything is. And, you know, and he tells us, with men it's impossible, but not with God. You know, which was coming out of our prayer this morning, you know, that everything is possible with God. And we have to remember that, you know, that he is our strength and that he can do all things. And that with man, it might be impossible to get up in the morning. But with God is your strength and your, I'm just filled up, Mother. This word touched my heart, you know, and even in the Old Testament word, you know, folks need to keep their mouth off of people. You know, I almost wanted my title to be keep your mouth off of folks. But, you know, that was not what God gave me. But anyway, that was what the flesh wanted to say. Keep your mouth off of folks. You know, because, you know, we'll find out. I'm going to let Mother read it, but I'm going to tell you, your siblings can be the worst. Sometimes your siblings can start more mess than anybody. you know, folks keeping their mouth on somebody. Well, Mother Valerie, I don't like him. Well, I don't like her. Well, I this and I that. I has nothing to do with anybody else's relationship. We need to mind our own business. But anyway, we're going to find out what happens when you don't mind your business. As my mother's pastor said, when you mind your business for 6 months and you mind your business for 6 more months, guess what? You done minded your business for the whole year. So that's what we need to do, mind our business for the whole year. So, Mother, I'm turning it over to you so we can find out what happens when somebody didn't mind their own business. Hallelujah. So, Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you. We got a great word this morning. All I can say is text a friend, call a friend. Tell them to call 213-943-3597. Come on in to the Moving Forward family. Because we got a great word this morning. Mother Valerie, it's all yours.
Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Pastor Bridget. I like what she was saying. Stay in your own lane. Mind your own business. And you'll come out okay. I know our pastor always tells us, stay in your own lane. I'm coming out of Numbers 11 and 1. Now, when the people complain, it pleased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. I mean, when God heard that complaining, that murmuring and complaining, he was displeased. So you have to be careful. God don't want you complaining all the time. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yield to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now the manna was like corn seed, and its color like the color of bedbugs. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the ground in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom? As a foreign carry a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. And so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officer over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I'll come down and talk with you there. I'll take the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and become loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? And Moses said, these people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat, that they may eat it for a whole month, herbs be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the seven men of the elders of the people, placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the spirit rests upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so before. But two men had remained in the camp. Name of the one was Eldad, name of the other Medad. And the spirit rests upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad prophesied in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Or that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Now wind blew out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side, and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. All the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. So while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. He called the name of that place Kibroth because they were buried there, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craven. From Kibroth Hathaoth, the people moved to Haroth and camped at Hazeroth. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. It's because of the Egyptian woman who he had married. Moses married a black woman, and they spoke against her. He had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. Those three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in dreams. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against him, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, said, please heal her, O Lord, I pray. Please heal her, O Lord, I pray. He wanted her to be healed. He didn't want his sister to be a leper. He loved both Aaron and Miriam. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father has spit in her face, will she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be set out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was set out of camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again from Hazor and camped in the wilderness of Paran. You have to be careful speaking against God's prophets. Even though Moses was their brother and he married a black lady, but you have to be careful. I mean, whatever he did was his business. If he wanted to marry a blue lady, a pink lady, so be it. You can't talk about God's prophets. And they knew that Moses speak to God, but yet and still, they talked against him. Life lessons, numbers 12 and 14. Let her be set out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. God is gracious, but he will not be mocked. Sin remains sin, no matter who commits it, and God will respond to it. Also, his forgiveness of our sin does not necessarily mean the removal of all the consequences of our actions. Sin is sin. No matter who does it, it's still sin. Life lessons. Numbers 11 and 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. So the Lord heard it, and his anger aroused. Just as God always blessed an obedient spirit, so he always judges a complaining spirit. No one can grumble and honor God at the same time. Numbers 11 and 20. You have despised the Lord who is among you. We despise the Lord who lives among us when we declare his provision insufficient and his plan defective. How much better to praise the Lord for who he is than to complain about what we don't have. Our frustration can make us doubt the Lord's power. I can hear noises. Make us doubt the Lord's power and wisdom. But we must always remember that God is sovereign and fully able to fulfill all of his promises. I still can hear noises. God is God. He's the Father. He's the one that made the heaven and the earth. Is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for our God. And the title, "Who Many Who Will Be Last Will Be First, and the Last Will Be First. Many who will be last will be first, and the last will, and the last first." That's a good title. I like that. God is just a good God. He's good all the time. And, you know, you think about it. God gets angry. He gets angry. I can feel his noises. I don't know what they are. God gets angry. God gets displeased. And when he gets angry and he's mumbling and complaining and doing this and doing that, then God, he will do something about it. It's best to keep your mumbling and your complaining to yourself. Don't just mumble and complain like that. Keep it to yourself. I mean, you know, if it's not right, keep it to yourself. God don't even want you to mumble, complain all the time. This is a real good lesson. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. Pastor Bridget.
Amen, Mother. Amen. You know, Marion and all the people, you know, as many miracles as they had seen, you know, you think about it. They saw more miracles than we could ever imagine. You think food coming from heaven, you know, complaining, just whining for no reason. You didn't have, in your older mother, your shoes walking all that way and your shoes don't wear out. Your clothes don't wear out. You know, you're still feeling like you did when you walked out of Egypt. You know, it talked about when they go into the promised land, that Caleb and Joshua are just like they were when they were in their 20s or 30s, when they first left Egypt. You know, and the fact is that Miriam and Aaron, Miriam was a prophetess. She was a powerful woman of God. But yet she's going to complain about her sister-in-law. What
only
happened?
Because she
turned
was
white
black.
As snow. Gave her leprosy. Turned her white as snow. You complaining about the young woman. And yet, okay, fine. Now, how do you feel as an outsider? How do you feel being put away from the camp? I bet she didn't. She kept her tongue behind her teeth from that point on. And
Amen.
Didn't have nothing to mumble and complain about. You know, but jealousy is a horrible thing. Folks getting jealous of somebody else's blessing and somebody else's gift. That's why God admonishes us. Do not do that. Don't get upset with anybody because they have been given a gift that you have not. All blessed in our own way, God gives us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. That's all he asks for us to do is to love him and love each other. You know, but we have so many folks that are always vying to be first. You know, I have to watch my kids, you know, on Thursdays because you'll have one little kid that'll push their way to the front. And I thought, that's what the word of God is meaning. You know, I'm going to push my way to the front. I'm going to move you out of the way because I want to be first, not understanding that one in the back that you just pushed will wind up being the one in the front. Because that's exactly what I do. If you push your way to the front, I'll put you right in the back and move the person in the back to the front. Children, that is all right to be second or third, that you don't always have to be the one to win. Because in the end, if you trust God, you win. Hallelujah. And as we go into our psalm this morning, you know, a lot of it is dealing with first being last. And David says, I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, not of mine. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side, while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord, that you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. David felt like he was last. He felt like he was being talked about. Feeling like he was a nothing and a nobody. But what did God do? Made him first. To our life lesson for the 31st Psalm, verse 15, it says, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies. The hands of men can oppose us and harass us, but as children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. The hands that really matter belong to God. The hands that really matter belong to God. It is God who will write our name in the book. Mother, I want to be in the book. I want
Amen. My name
in the book. You know, we have folks trying to rush the coming, the rapture, trying to rush everything, and they don't understand. You can't rush anything. Everything is in God's time. And we may say, well, we're in the end times, we're in the this. There was other generations that said they were in the end times. When World War II was happening, there were those that said they were in the end times. When World War I was happening, there were those that said they were in the end times. And we are 100 years later. But we need to understand that the end times can last for we don't know how long. But when Jesus comes back, it's going to be bad. And what people don't realize, there's so many things that have to happen before he comes. There's so many things that will have to happen before the end of days. There's so many things that have to happen. You know, we know that, oh, when you read Revelations, it breaks it all down of what has to happen before the Savior comes, before the 1,000 years of peace, before the last war, opening up the book. There's so much that's going to go on, and we need to wait on the Lord. Quit trying to rush God. And as we go into Proverbs 11, 12 through 14, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. Come on now. But a man of understanding holds his peace. In other words, keeps his tongue behind his teeth, mother. A talebearer,
amen,
come on, reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a manner. You don't have to tell everything that you know. There are things that you need to keep behind your teeth. If someone says, could you please not speak about this, then you forget it. You've heard it, and it's gone. It is not your place to go tell other people's business. Between me, you, and God, and you don't have to go spread my business all over the land. That's why folks don't tell folks anything. You know, there are people that are dying today with cancer and other diseases that they don't tell anybody about because they don't want their business in the street. You know, folks will not tell you if you are a talebearer. Go run and tell that. You don't have to tell everything you know. Keep your mouth shut. I'm sorry if it sounds harsh, but sometimes people talk too much and they don't realize that they are hurting somebody. You know, if I come and I have my pastor for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and she ain't had the meal, then I'm out of order. I'm out of order. You know, come on now. You know, well, hey, she was the pancakes this morning. She was my bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich a little bit later, and she was my steak dinner. But, you know, but she didn't get a taste any of it. Come on. You got folks that talk too much. Because they get mad because they already know they did something wrong, but I'm going to put it over there. I'm going to project it. That's like a cheating husband who will come back and say, well, tell his wife who he knows is faithful. Well, you know, you might be cheating. If a man tells you you might be cheating, you need to hire a detective because he's the one that's doing it. Come on now. You know, need to look at the whole big picture. You know, folks want to put their own sins on somebody else. You know, just like Miriam called herself get and Aaron. Now, understand, this is what bothered me, mother. In the word, Miriam wasn't just the one talking. You know, come on now. They both sitting there. She talking just like him. And it said then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. But he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. But note that this is what really said. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three. And then the Lord got mad. But it says, so Aaron said, so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there was a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us. But I'm sorry. I think Aaron should have been a leper, too, because he was running his mouth just like she was. But sometimes only one person gets the the bulk of everything. You know, it is more than one person talking, but only one person gets in trouble. And that's what happened. They were both talking against Moses' wife, but only Miriam got the bulk of it. She got leprosy. And Aaron begging, because Aaron's like, oh, shoot, Miriam got leprosy. Maybe I might get it, too. So he started begging. So he didn't get it. But, you know, it's again, women always get the short end. And mm-hmm. I always think, Mother, when I read this, that Miriam gets leprosy, Aaron gets to get out of it. But he was talking too. That's just like the woman in Jesus that they brought to, the Pharisees brought to Jesus that was caught in the act of adultery. I want to know, where was the man she was caught in the act of adultery with? He skated, and she goes about to get stoned. Aaron skated, and Miriam got leprosy. It's like, come on now. Men getting away with too much, Mother. They're getting away with too much. And then it says here, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You need to have a shepherd. You know, I know my testimony, where I tuned out of church, where I didn't want to be bothered with church people. You know, them hypocrites call themselves Christians and just evil. Always doing stuff. I don't want to be a part of that stuff. I'm good. I'm good sitting on my, and G.E. Patterson, we are good. Oh, and my praise and worship, thank you, Dr. Brown. You know, I would listen to the show on BET every Sunday morning, you know, and see all these new artists coming and hearing the music that was on Bobby Brown's gospel. You know, I that's what I listen to. And I may not, I hope I'm saying the right name, but that's what I was listening. Bobby Jones, I'm sorry, Bobby Jones gospel. And I was like, this is good. Not Bobby Brown, but Bobby Jones. But, you know, Dr. Jones, he would always bring out new artists. That was the first time I ever heard Yolanda Adams and Kirk Franklin. CC and BB, I saw them on the 700 Club, you know, and I saw them on PTL because I was watching Tammy and Jim Baker, too. You know, I was getting the word in now. I'm not saying they was necessarily the right words, but I was at least getting something, you know, and I read my Bible, but I didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to be bothered with them church folks. Wrong attitude. It was wrong, and I paid for it. We need to be in the company of saints. That is what God has told us, and that's what we need to do. You know, even though we know that just like all these folks walking with Moses, the children of Israel, whining and complaining, Jesus had to deal with whining and complaining. But the one thing about God, he loves us anyway. He cares about us anyway. And he wants the best for us anyway. And as we go into Mark chapter 10, it says, then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? Then they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning, come on now, of the creation, God made them male and female for the reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Come on now. I just went to a wedding on last Saturday. And it was so beautiful because this woman waited a lot of years for her husband. This man was so excited to be married to her, that they sealed that bargain. As they say, once that vow was sealed and he was able to salute his bride, he couldn't stop kissing her. He couldn't. And then at the reception, every time he think about it, he leaned over and kissed her on the jaw. He was just so excited of being her husband because he chose her. He chose her. And he knew he had got him a good thing. And she just blushed and smiled. She blushed. She was blushing. She was so beautiful. And I just want to, shout out to the Addisons. May God bless your marriage. And may you have a long life together. Because they waited for their good thing. That's, we got to wait on the Lord. Because when it's time, God was the one you needed. And she always prayed for that husband that God would send. Come on. Bless the name of Jesus. But God did not put it together for us to separate till death do us part. And I am an unmarried woman, but I was married for 32 years. God did it. And God gave us that time. I'm grateful for my time that I was married. Not saying everything was roses and lilies, because it wasn't. Because life happens. But I'm blessed, and I'm thankful, and I'm grateful that I had a man that loved me and didn't hesitate to say it every day, and who made me laugh all the time. You've got to have laughter. If a husband or a wife is so stuck in the mud, always got a frown on their face, can never make you smile, can never make you laugh, as a very wise man told him, get him out of here. That is not the one for you. God wants us to be happy. That's why he makes us one flesh. Because when you love yourself, you can love others. When you think about other people before you think about you, you think about your husband or your wife before you think about yourself, and they make you happy, and you're not always feeling like all down in the dumps. A good thing doesn't make you sad. And as Jesus said, therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. And that's a caveat, what God has joined together. There's some relationships that were not joined together by God. And you know who they are. Because if somebody's got to beat you, somebody's got to vilify you, somebody's got to tear you to pieces, that was not ordained by God. That was not joined together by God. That's an unequal yoking. If she loves God and she's in church and you causing all kind of trouble, cussing her out, beating her down, treating her like dirt, God didn't put that together. And you are not his good thing. He's the counterfeit. You got the counterfeit, sister, because so many times women want to look at the outside and not the inside. It's the inside, the one that rib came from, that God created us women from, that rib of Adam that he created Eve, that lets you know there's somebody, that you are their rib. You are that person. You are that last that is going to be first, because you are a chosen one by God. What God, and that's a thing we got to remember, mother, what God has joined together. Because so many times God didn't join some marriages together, and you know who they are because they can't get along. Fight fuss all the time because God didn't bring that together. Most of the time it was brought together by the enemy because of lust. Folks get married because they like having sex together, but they don't know each other. Don't know each other's likes, don't know each other's dislikes, don't even know each other's favorite color, don't know each other's favorite song. All they know is they done jumped in the bed together. And so we're going to get married. Marriage is more than sex. And I keep it real. So if I offended anyone, please forgive me. But the truth is the truth. We got to be joined together by God. And it tells us in the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Whoa. And it says, he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, but he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with men all things, for with God are possible. I got to read that again. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, mother, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What a word this morning. What a word. And as we go back to the life lesson, you know, in Mark, I'm going to actually go back to our psalm this morning. It says, what should I do during times of adversity? The Lord told us that we would have adversity. And he said part of life facing adversity, part of life is facing adversity, even the part of adversity that challenges our faith. King David provides us some great advice when it comes to facing times of adversity. As part of his final blessing to his son Solomon, David said to him, you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. That is one of my favorite scriptures. That comes from 1 Chronicles 22 and 13, but also it's in Joshua. And it says that good advice for us today, too. That's good advice for us today, too. It's still true that obedience always brings blessing. Time and again in the law of Moses, find the word keep. The children of Israel were commanded to keep the feast, to keep the law and commandments, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to keep their oath to God, to keep themselves from evil. Moses said to the children of Israel as he led them into a covenant relationship with God, therefore keep the words of the covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Deuteronomy 29:9. To keep means to hold fast and to cherish at the same time. When adversity strikes, that should be our mindset. Above all else, we need to hold fast to the Lord and cherish our relationship with him. Rather than blame God or turn from God, we need to turn to God and rely on his help. Keeping God's law in the face of adversity actually leads us toward prosperity, a better state of being. When adversity hits, those around you may criticize you for clinging to faith or reaffirming your belief that God is a good and benevolent Heavenly Father. They may mock you or scorn you. Don't feel dismayed if that happens. Continue to keep God's word and remain faithful in your relationship with the Lord. Remember what David said, I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, come on now, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Ask the Lord to give you courage to withstand the hurtful comments of others and to be able to give a bold witness about God's power, presence, and even in your time of trouble. Folks gonna talk about it, Mother Dallas. Talk about our church. Talk about our pastor. Talk about a woman. Oh my, it's a woman pastor.
Amen.
You know, you have folks that want to talk about you instead of lift you up. And Jesus said this in Mark 10:5, because of your hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Folks, hard-hearted. Moses went through some stuff. We just saw it today. His own siblings talking about it. His own siblings talking about him like he's a junkyard dog. He ain't no better than us. Why? You know, because he had a humble heart and he loved God. God often acts in a pragmatic way toward us. He gives us a high standard to shoot for. But since he remembers that we are dust, come on now. 103rd Psalm, verse 14. He also keeps our weaknesses in mind. Yet that is not an excuse. He always calls us to grow spiritually. We should not be the same today as we were at 19. We should not be the same today as we were at 14. We should not be the same as we were when we were 5 and 6. Come on now. We got to grow up. You can't be the same. You can't be a spoiled child. You got to grow up. Mark 10:18. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. Even Jesus said, I'm not good. I had to come in here as a man. And man is not good. You know, Jesus wanted to make sure everybody knew. I am it just like you. At this point in time, I am no better than you. I came to see and be you because I got to take all of your sins to the cross. I came to die. Jesus did not contradict the man's description of him as good. Jesus merely asked him why he used the term as God in the flesh. Jesus was truly good, but he wanted the man to see it for himself. You know, you good? Yeah. We got, you hear folks say, man, you good? I have to say, yes, I am good. Why am I good? Because I'm a child of God. And I know my daddy loves me. That's why I'm good. And that's how we got to be good too. But we know that the best and greatest good of ever is our Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit are all good. And because the Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are good. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And we need to remember that. Don't get upset if it takes you a little bit of time to get where you want to go. Because what does it say? That little turtle going slow is going to win the race. Because the ones going so, so fast, eventually they're going to get tired. Don't get tired in well-doing, family. But in due season, if you faint not, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. Just God. And I know I did, for those scholars out there, said, she didn't say that scripture right. I did not. But we all know that we still must do good and be good and trust God. And even if you're the last right now, even if you feel like you don't have everything that you need, believe me, you do. Because one day you will be first in the kingdom of God. And if there is anyone out there who has a word, now is the time to raise your hand by pushing the number one on your phone. And in the meantime, I have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word is this. Good morning. Everyone is not trustworthy. Come on, Sister Carolyn. All up in a lesson, Mother. But if you trust God, come on now, then you will be secure in knowing that he is with you when you are dealing with untrustworthy people. Have a God trusting thirsty. Woo! Come on now. God is in it. Sister Carolyn done went all in the spiritual realm with his Mother Valerie and came back with a word that is right there. Again, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Keeping your tongue behind the teeth. Everyone is not trustworthy. Come on, sis. But if you trust God, come on, then you will be secure in knowing that he is with you when you are dealing with untrustworthy people. Have a God trusting thirsty. What did Jesus tell us in our word today? I got to go back. What did he say? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Don't worry about folks trying to do your dirt. Trust God, because you might be last right now, but you will be first. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you. Anyone that has a word? If not, Mother Valerie, it is time for us to go. And I just pray over all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Remembering, it don't matter where you are. Remember that God has got you and you are good. Have a great day, Mother Valerie.
You know what? Pastor? God directed his anger toward Miriam because she was taking to herself a robe that wasn't hers. The same
yes.
rebuke also applied to Aaron, yet it seems Aaron acknowledged his sin and petitioned on behalf of Miriam. Aaron, in ministering
yes.
in the robe of high priest, acknowledged his and Israel's iniquities before God and made his plea to Moses, who interceded for them. God restores both of them and gives them an object lesson, lest they forget. Aaron acknowledged his sin, and he had Moses to petition God. He was in the role of high priest, but Miriam became a leper. I mean, it looked like to me, and like what you were saying, females take the, you know, it falls on a female, like with that adulterous woman. But God
yes.
is good regardless, because Miriam should have, and Aaron, they shouldn't have been talking about God's prophet.
Come
you don't
on,
do
man.
That. You don't put your mouth on God's people. God gets angry because God is using these people. What gives you the right to talk about them, whatever they do? God knows what they're doing. So you have to be careful talking about Pastor Jesse, Pastor Bridget, Pastor Michelle. You have to be careful talking about God's people. You can't do that. Amen.
So true.
So we're down to what? It is a wrap?
It's a wrap. Thank you for that word, Mother. Thank you for that word and clarifying. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And that's what we do. If we mess up, we clean up. If we make
Amen.
A mistake, we say we made a mistake. But I thank
Amen.
you are blessing, and I'm grateful to have you join us every day. God is good, and I'm just grateful today for another day that God has given us. And we just want to say it's a wrap. Again, thank you, Arita. You are. Thank you, God. Thank you, family. Have a great day. I'm all filled up. What a
Amen.
Word.
Thank you.
I got to go to work, and it is a wrap.
It's a wrap.